Morning, everyone. My name's Tristan. Lovely to be here. Let's pray, and we'll have a look at the second sign in John's Gospel. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for your word. Please help us to engage with your words this morning. Help us understand your words to us, please. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, Claire and the kids and I were on holiday, and we had this dilemma where we had to choose between words and wonders. Let me explain what I mean. We were in Canberra. We really enjoy going to Canberra because there's just so much to do in Canberra. And one of the things that we wanted to do, which we had never done before, was go to Questacon. Another thing that we wanted to do, which we'd also never done before, was to visit the National Library. Now, the National Library and Questacon are actually right next to each other in Canberra. They are both really interesting places to visit, but for very, very different reasons. The National Library is a very quiet, sort of somber place. In the National Library, they have lots of reading rooms, and they have these interesting exhibits and displays with all sorts of historical bits of writing and publications from Australia's history. And there's just lots of it, like tens of millions of books and things. I discovered that at the National Library, every single book published in Australia, every single newspaper, every magazine, everything published in Australia, the National Library, they have to keep a copy. There is a lot of words in that building. Just next door, though, Questacon. Questacon is not a quiet, relaxing place. It's noisy. If you've been to Questacon, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's terrifyingly noisy, kids everywhere. There's all these interactive science and technology experiments and demonstrations going on all the time. There's an earthquake room. There's a Rototron, there's a Gravitram, they're amazing. It is full of wonders. Standing between those two buildings, the National Library and Questacon, is a bit like entering the world of John chapter 4. Because John chapter 4 is this interplay between words and wonders. This interplay between the words of Jesus and the wondrous signs that he's been doing. And this interplay between words and wonders is sort of building and swirling in chapter 4, all heading towards this second sign that Julia just read for us. Now, hopefully you'll remember what Jason mentions earlier this morning. We are at the moment, this term, we're taking a stroll through John's Gospel, and we are stopping at each of the signs that John's put up for us along the way. And this second sign, this is the second sign that Jesus has done. And you'll have noticed again, that's what John told us right in that very last verse, 54. He said this was the second sign Jesus performed. And it's here because all of these signs and wonders done by Jesus, they are meant to convince us to take Jesus at his word. There were people at the time who didn't really want to take Jesus at his word. They just wanted to see more signs and wonders. This second sign is pointing our attention to Jesus' words. Let's have a look at it together. But we're actually going to start with the setting because the context for this second sign is actually really important. So have a look at John chapter 4, verse 40. Chapter 4, verse 40. It says, when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So in John chapter 4, Jesus has been hanging out with a bunch of Samaritans, one woman in particular, but a whole lot of them as well here. And these Samaritans, they were sort of half Jewish, but for a long time they've been split off from the people of Israel and they've been rejected by Israel because they're only half Jewish. But Jesus has been hanging out with them and talking with them, and John draws our attention to the difference between how these Samaritans treat Jesus and how the rest of the Jews in Galilee treat Jesus. And who it is who's interested in Jesus' words and who it is who's only interested in his wonders. Look at verse 42. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Do you see what John's pointing out for us? Because of his words, these Samaritans, they believe that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. But contrast those Samaritans with the Galileans. Look at what happens next, verse 43. After 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They'd seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. These Galileans are just as excited about Jesus. But again, do you notice what John's pointed out for us? Their excitement is not because of his words. They're excited because of his wonders. They're excited because of what they've seen, not what they've heard. I reckon it's a bit like learning to read. Kids' books, they start with no words, don't they? Kids' books start with just pictures. But then, as you step up a bit, you get letters. A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for car. And then you step up a little bit more and you start to get whole words and then whole sentences, and then the sentences get longer. And the pictures are still there. The pictures are there to engage you with the words. The pictures are there to help you understand the words. Here in John, all of Jesus' signs and wonders are meant to engage people with his words. The signs and wonders are meant to help people understand Jesus' words. But here are the Galileans, and they're like kids listening to mum or dad read them a picture book, but they are so hooked on just the pictures, they're completely ignoring the words. They are excited because of what they've seen, not what they've heard. They've heard Jesus is the Saviour of the world, just like the Samaritans have. They either don't get it or they don't care. They just want to see him do some more impressive stuff, maybe like turning water into wine. And the result is they're not understanding the story Jesus is telling them. That's the setting. Now, it's in that setting that John now records the sign, Jesus' second sign, to show us the value of taking Jesus at his word. Let's have a look. Verse 46. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he'd turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. We're introduced to this royal official. John says he's just walked 20 k's from Capernaum to Cana to find Jesus because his son, verse 47, says his son is about to die. John tells us in a pretty matter-of-fact way, but you've got to assume that this guy has seen every doctor, he's gone to every specialist, he is at the end of his tether, and you have to imagine that when he left home the day before, he would have been a mess of tears. Here's a guy who's thinking he has kissed and hugged his son goodbye for the last time. And he walks 20 kilometres to find Jesus and beg Jesus for help. Look at what Jesus says, verse 48. He says, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe." It feels like a harsh thing for Jesus to say, but I want to point out to you that the "you" in that sentence is plural. You people, you Galileans. You Galileans, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. It seems like there are Galileans hanging around hoping for another sign, another wonder. Not ready to listen to Jesus' words, but hanging around for a show. But the royal official isn't hanging around for a show. He's there for his son. And so he begs Jesus again. He says, come down before my child dies. And Jesus says, verse 50, he simply says, go, your son will live. That's it. Go. Your son will live. Such is the power and the authority of Jesus that when he speaks, reality bends to his words. It's really profound, isn't it? It's hard to imagine words with that kind of impact. I noticed the other week that the US president said something about tariffs on China, and global markets lost trillions of dollars within minutes of him saying those words. Trillions of dollars within minutes. And yet, of course, those words are nothing compared to Jesus' words. In fact, earlier in John's Gospel in chapter 1, John tells us that Jesus is God's word in the flesh. All things were made through Jesus. Nothing that exists was made without his word. The universe exists by the power of Jesus' word. This sign reinforces that for us. Jesus' words have extraordinary power and authority. And so the official, well, he has the exact right response, verse 50. He took Jesus at his word and he left. He took Jesus at his word and he was right to. He was right to because on his way home, his servants meet him with the good news. His boy's recovered. At the exact time that Jesus said he was going to live, verse 52, when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judah to Galilee. Jesus' words, extraordinarily powerful. He doesn't need to wave a wand. He doesn't even need to see the patient to heal him. His words are a diagnosis, a prescription, a cure, bulk build, done. He simply says, your son will live, and his words become reality. Jesus' words are powerful, life-giving words. And so the sign ends with the official and all of his family. They end up knowing and believing what the Samaritans knew, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They believed, and the sign showed that they were right to take Jesus at his word. And so the reason John's recorded this sign and the question that John wants to ask us, I reckon is pretty clear. Do we take Jesus at his word? His words are powerful. His words bring life. Do we take him at his word? What does that even mean? What might it look like for us to take Jesus at his word? Just a little earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus said these words up on the screen. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If we take Jesus at his word, we'll believe in him. Because he says whoever does has eternal life. He says that's why he came, that's why God sent him, to die in our place, to forgive our sin, to give us eternal life instead of death. Look, I don't want to downplay how extraordinary those words are. And I don't want to downplay that if you've not heard that before, that's hard to wrap your head around. It's hard to believe it could be true. And so I want to draw your attention to this second sign, because it's a sign that highlights just how powerful Jesus' words are and how Jesus' words are life-bringing words. And because his words are powerful and life-giving, this is a sign that invites us to see how good it is to take Jesus at his word. He can give you eternal life. If that's something that you want to think more about, as was pointed out earlier, it's not too late to come along to Christianity Explored on Tuesday night. Chat to Jason. There's invitations in the foyer. Find out more about the extraordinary life-giving words of Jesus. A little later on in John's Gospel in chapter 14, Jesus will say these words, "If you love me, keep my commands." If we take Jesus at his words, we'll obey him. We'll listen to him and we'll do what he says and we'll live to honour him. If we take Jesus at his word, then we won't do what he says just when it's convenient for us. We won't do what he says when it happens to be what we were going to do anyway. We won't do as he says just when there's other people watching. If we take Jesus at his word, we'll keep his commands. A little later again in John's Gospel, Jesus says these words, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." If we take Jesus at his word, we'll understand that Jesus uses his people to take the good news of his love and his rescue to the world. And we'll understand that Jesus has sent us to take the good news to our friends and our family and our neighbours. If we take Jesus at his word, we're not going to keep the good news of Jesus to ourselves. We'll share it if we take him at his word. When my family and I were in Canberra, standing between the National Library and Questacon, we chose Questacon. We chose the wonders of Questacon. I reckon if we read through John's signs and we don't take Jesus at his word, I reckon it's a bit like going to Questacon but not reading or learning anything while you're there. Like Questacon's purpose, their mission statement, their reason for existence is to create fun, interactive learning experiences that stimulate engagement in science and technology. But imagine going to Questacon, imagine going into the earthquake room and being all shaken up but not learning anything or reading anything about why earthquakes happen or what you should do if an earthquake happens to you. Imagine walking through the Rototron and not reading or learning anything about how your brain processes sensory messages. Imagine staring at the Gravitram and not reading or learning anything about the laws of energy and gravity. I mean, you could do that. You could go to Questacon and you could have all the fun and see all the wonders, and I'm sure plenty of people, that's all they ever do. But if it's not a learning experience, if it doesn't engage you with science and technology, I reckon you've kind of missed the point. Please don't miss the point of Jesus' signs. John's recorded these signs that you may believe Jesus when he says that he can give you life. One last part of John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus says these words. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." If we take Jesus at his word, then we'll know and we'll understand that he dearly loves us. He loves us with a selfless, a limitless and unbreakable kind of love. So much so that you can wake up tomorrow and you could be feeling great or feeling absolutely miserable, and it doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves you and laid down his life for you. You are precious to him. He loves you with his whole heart, with life-giving love. Jesus' words are wonderful words, but we risk missing out on them if we miss the point of Jesus' signs. His signs are meant to engage us with his words. And this second sign especially is here to convince you to take Jesus at his word, because his word is powerful and his word gives life. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us through your Son Jesus. Father, thank you that Jesus' words carry your power, and he speaks with the authority to offer life to those who belong to him. Father, please may we take Jesus at his word, and please may we have great delight in his words of life and love. Amen.